College English Test, Band 4, Part 2, Listening Comprehension. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear three news reports. At the end of each news report, you will hear two or three questions. Both the news report and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
News Report 1. One of Google's self-driving cars crashed into a bus in California last month. There were no injuries. It is not the first time one of Google's famed self-driving cars has been involved in a crash, but it may be the first time it has caused one. On February 14th, the self-driving car, traveling at 2 miles per hour, pulled out in front of a public bus going 15 miles per hour. The man in the Google vehicle reported that he assumed the bus would slow down to let the car out, and so he did not switch to the manual mode. In a statement, Google said, "We clearly bear some responsibility because if our car hadn't moved, there wouldn't have been a crash. That said, our test driver believed the bus was going to slow or stop to allow us to merge into the traffic, and that there would be sufficient space to do that." The company's self-driving cars have done well, over 1 million miles across various states in the U.S., and until now have only reported minor accidents.
Questions 1 and 2 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 1. According to Google, what was the cause of the accident? Question 2. How have Google's self-driving cars performed so far? News Report 2. Thousands of bees left a town after landing on the back of a car when their queen got stuck in its boot. Tom Moses, who works at a nearby national park, noticed a brown patch on the back of the car after the owner parked it to do some shopping. When he looked closer, he realized it was a huge group of bees. Moses said, "I've never seen that many bees in one spot. It was very unusual. They were very close together, and there was a lot of noise and movement. It was interesting to see such a strange sight, but there were a lot of people around, and I was a bit worried about the bees and the people stopping to look. I thought that someone might do something stupid." Moses called two local bee specialists, who helped remove the bees by attracting them into a box. Moses spent 3 hours looking after the bees and was stung 5 times. He said, "My stings are a bit painful, but I'm pleased it all worked out and I could help. People need to realize that bees are valuable and they should be looked after."
Questions 3 and 4 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 3. What do we learn about Tom Moses? Question 4. What do we know about the bees on the back of the car? News Report 3. A new species of snake has been discovered on a remote island in the Bahamas. Scientists identified 20 of the 1-meter-long snakes during two trips to the Caribbean islands. The second trip was made in October last year. One of the creatures made a dramatic appearance by moving on to the head of the team leader as he slept. The snake has been named Silver Boa because it is metal-colored, and the first specimen found was climbing a silver palm tree. The team was led by Dr. Graham Reynolds from Harvard University. The scientists confirmed the snake was a previously unknown species after conducting a genetic analysis of tissue samples. Commenting on the find, snake expert Robert Henderson from the Milwaukee Museum of Natural History said, "Worldwide new species of frogs are being discovered and described quite regularly. New species of snakes, however, are much rarer."
Questions 5 to 7 are based on the news report you have just heard. Question 5. What is the news report mainly about? Question 6. What do we learn about the scientific team leader? Question 7. How did the newly discovered creature get its name?
Section B, Directions. In this section, you will hear two long conversations. At the end of each conversation, you will hear four questions. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Conversation 1.
Did you enjoy your stay with us, Mr. Brown?
Yes, very much. I had a wonderful time here. Now I'm going to the airport. My flight leaves in less than 2 hours. So could you tell me what's the quickest way to get there?
Well, we can call a taxi for you. We also have a free airport shuttle service.
That sounds great. But will the shuttle get me to the airport in time?
Yes, it should. The next shuttle leaves in 15 minutes. And it takes some 25 minutes to get to the airport.
Fantastic. I'll just wait in the lobby. Will you please let me know when it's leaving?
Of course, sir.
Now, I would like to settle my minibar bill. How much is that?
Let's see. It comes to $37.50. How would you like to pay for it?
I'll pay with my credit card, thanks. But I'll need a receipt so I can charge it to my company.
Absolutely. Here you are, sir. If you like, you can leave your bags with the porter and he can load them onto the shuttle for you when it arrives.
That would be great. Thank you.
Would you like to leave a comment on our webpage when you have time?
Sure. I had a really good stay here, and I'd like to recommend your hotel to my friends and colleagues.
That's very kind of you. Thank you again for staying at Sheraton Hotel.
Questions 8 to 11 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 8. Why does the man ask about the quickest way to the airport? Question 9. How is the man going to pay his bill? Question 10. What did the man ask the woman to do? Question 11. What favor does the woman ask of the man?
Conversation 2.
You know, Ben's given up making those terrible faces he used to make. The other day, he came home from school almost in tears. His teacher said if he went on like that, his face would get stuck when the wind changed.
And he believed her?
Yeah, he's only a little boy. Don't you remember all those things we used to believe when we were little? I remember my Aunt Mary used to say, if you swallow a cherry stone, a tree will grow out of your mouth. And I'm still terrified today, sort of subconsciously, you know, if I swallow one by mistake.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. The one that used to get me was that swans could break your leg with a blow of the wing.
They can, can't they? I always thought they could.
No, they're not that strong. But there's another one even more terrifying, that is, if you put a postage stamp on upside down, you'll go to prison.
No, never heard of that. But my grandmother was a terror for that kind of thing. For example, she would say you'll get a spot on your tongue if you tell a lie. If you eat stale bread, your hair will curl. And here's one more. We went on a camping trip once in Italy, and my wife spent the whole time worrying about bats getting into her hair. She said her grandmother reckoned you had to shave your head to get it out. My wife was really terrified.
Silly, isn't it? But that's how some parents try to keep their kids from doing the wrong thing or getting into trouble.
Questions 12 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 12. What does the man say about Ben? Question 13. What did Aunt Mary used to do when the man was a child? Question 14. What does the woman believe swans could do? Question 15. What did the grandmother of the man's wife say?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear three passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear three or four questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. If I could go back in history and live when I liked, I wouldn't go back very far. In fact, I'd like to relive a period I've already lived. The 1960s. I was in my 20s, and everything was being renewed. People were coming out of a formal and almost Victorian attitude, and you really felt anything was possible. Meeting people was the thing, and you went to coffee bars, where you met friends and spent the evening. The cinema, the theater, all that was very exciting, with new things coming out. In fact, we seemed to be out all the time. I don't really remember working. Of course, I was a student. Or sitting around at home very much. That just wasn't where the scene was. Even eating. It was the first time ordinary people started going out to eat. We were beginning to be adventurous about food, but we were more interested in meeting people than in eating or drinking. And dress, yes, that was the revolution. I mean, girls went around in really short skirts and wore flowers in their hair, and men were in jeans and could wear their hair long too. It was a wonderful period. It was like living in an age you could never have imagined, and that never has come back. We didn't have much money, but it didn't matter, and there was plenty of opportunity to do whatever you felt like doing.
Questions 16 to 18 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 16. Why does the speaker say he would like to relive the 1960s? Question 17. What does the speaker say was the most popular thing to do at that time? Question 18. What do we learn about the speaker? Passage 2. Dogs, man's best friends, have a clear strategy for dealing with angry owners. They look away. New research shows that dogs limit their eye contact with angry humans. The scientists suggest this may be an attempt to calm humans down. This behavior may have evolved as dogs gradually learned they could benefit from avoiding conflicts with humans. To conduct the tests, the University of Helsinki researchers trained 31 dogs to rest in front of a video screen. Facial photos of dogs and humans were displayed on the screen for 1.5 seconds. They showed threatening, pleasant, and neutral expressions. Nearby cameras tracked the dogs' eye movements. Dogs in the study looked most at the eyes of humans and other dogs to sense their emotions. When dogs looked at expressions of angry dogs, their eyes rested more on the mouth, perhaps to interpret the threatening expressions. And when looking at angry humans, they tended to turn away their gaze. Dogs may have learned to detect threat signs from humans and respond by trying to make peace. According to researcher Sani Sampi, avoiding conflicts may have helped dogs develop better bonds with humans. The researchers also note that dogs scan faces as a whole to sense how people are feeling, instead of focusing on a given feature. They suggest this indicates that dogs aren't sensing emotions from a single feature, but piecing together information from all facial features just as humans do.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 19. What do dogs do when they are faced with angry humans? Question 20. What does a dog do when it sees the expressions of angry dogs? Question 21. How does a dog sense people's feelings? Passage 3. Winter in many places is very cold. There is lots of snow around and the ground freezes, which can make life difficult for animals. People in cold places live in warm houses and have learned to adapt. What do animals do? There are three main ways that animals survive the cold in winter: sleep, adapt, or migrate. Some animals, such as bears, frogs, and snakes, sleep all winter. They sleep very deeply and need little or no food. While sleeping, their body temperature drops and their heartbeat slows down. To prepare for this before winter, these animals eat extra food to become fat, which gives them the energy they need while they sleep. Other animals adapt, for example, by staying active in winter. It is often hard for them to find food, so some animals, such as mice, collect extra food before winter and hide it. When winter comes, they return to the hiding places to eat the food. Some animals grow thicker fur or live in tree holes or underground to stay warm. Some birds migrate by flying to a warmer place for the winter, where they can find more food. Some fly very long distances, including one kind of bird that flies from the remote north of the world all the way to the distant south. Some birds fly in groups for safety, while others fly alone.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 22. What does the speaker say about animals in winter? Question 23. What do we learn about animals that sleep through winter? Question 24. How do animals like mice adapt to the severe winter? Question 25. Why do some birds fly in groups when migrating, according to the speaker?
This is the end of listening comprehension.